Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. This is Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This episode is brought to you by the Stack System, the most advanced speed trading system in golf. The Stack pairs with a single club with 30 weight combinations and an industry-changing app, which provides customized programming created by two leaders in the golf industry, Dr. Sasha McKenzie and VP of Fitting and Performance, Marty Jerkson at Ping, so they know their golf stuff. Matt Fitzpatrick and many other tour pros are using the Stack to gain speed. I myself used it and gained over 8 miles per hour of clubhead speed. So basically, me and Matty are the same golfer. If you also want to gain speed, use the code SPINAXIS at thestacksystem.com to get 10% off your order. This week's podcast, we're going to talk about social media instruction and how there's more information out there for the average golfer than there ever has been. But is that a good or a bad thing? What do you think, Eric?
Absolutely not. It's not a good thing at all. It's a good thing for instructors, of course, but golfers, as we all know, a small percentage of golfers take lessons. And of that percentage of golfers that take lessons, I think all of us would generally say we prefer if they are not contradicting or even trying to supplement our instruction with social media instruction. Tyson, I think you probably feel the same way.
I think it's so hard to have a player buy into your concept when they're watching 50,000 videos a night on Instagram or TikTok, and they come in every single lesson with, I was watching this guy, or I saw this tip, and it sort of undermined the entire previous lesson that you had with that player. Definitely makes it hard. What do you see, Jason?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. There are little nibbits where I do like it, but for the most part, when somebody comes in and they've been rattled off four different, you know, drills or feels that they have from, you know, the last night's YouTube binge, and I go, what about what we're working on? And they go, well, yeah, but I was doing that too. And I was like, well, we already talked about having too many thoughts to begin with, and now you just rattled off four more things that you're trying to work on. What about the drills that we worked on? Did you focus on those? And they go, well, yeah, I did them a little bit, but I really think that this is. And for the most of the time, that's not what they need to work on. Now, on the flip side, to talk about where there is some good into it, is I know that a lot of people get that as their form of entertainment. And I'll tell my students, I said, if that's your entertainment and that's what you enjoy, you know, getting a drink and you sit down and you start binging YouTube, that's totally fine. But you need to, in the back of your head, go, this isn't what I need to work on. And if there's the tiniest little bit of them going, oh, I wonder if this is what Jason's talking about trying to get me to do, then I tell my students, send me that clip, because for three different reasons. Two is, if it's not, I'll tell you right away. And I go, no, that's not for you. If it is for you, I'll go, okay, that's great, because that's maybe another drill that maybe I would have prescribed to you, but you know, you feel that drill, you know, a little bit better. And then the third one is, if it's not for you, but you send it to me, it might be a drill that I've never seen or another thought or something like that. And I do like it because now it's another tool in my toolbox for, you know, Mr. Johnson over here that I'm going to see in 2 days. And that might be the drill that I would subscribe to him. But for most students, I would say that you can use YouTube as a form of entertainment, but it shouldn't be what you're using for your instruction.
Yeah, I think as instructors, we look at that kind of content differently. I watch a lot of it. I take in almost none of it. Certainly as it applies to my game, and occasionally I use what I'm seeing as a feel or as a thing to work on with someone else in the future, possibly. But even that's kind of a limited percentage. There's not a lot of new stuff in golf instruction, so finding a new feel, finding a new drill, finding a new understanding or measurement or something like that is pretty rare. But the specific phrasing of how someone goes about teaching something can be useful. Oftentimes I find myself being reminded of something I taught 5 years ago that I haven't taught in a while for the same thing, because we all get in kind of like patterns of like, oh, this is kind of the words I say when I teach this thing now. Not that we get stale necessarily, but we can be reminded of saying, because it's always good to be able to say the same thing 5 different ways, 10 different ways to people. And sometimes just being forced to recall one of the previous ways you used to teach something can be useful. But we're not looking at that as students. We're looking at that as instructors. And most golfers out there aren't looking at that as just a general knowledge building exercise like we might be. And so the concern is always, are they trying to even subconsciously kind of try to put this into their game. You know, they're on the course, they hit a bad shot, they think, oh, you know, I saw that video like 3 weeks ago that said this. And so, you know, like, do they try to do that, you know, even subconsciously, or did they even remember it correctly, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I think looking at it from a player's perspective versus an instructor perspective, I think the beauty of it is you can sort of see how an instructor talks, what they sort of focus on in their videos. And, you know, the important part of most instruction and why I love in-person lessons, when you form the relationship with the player, right? The relationship's really important. A lot of people will start to see some of these videos and really like the way someone talks or moves, or they're trying to do something very specific. So it gives us as a player the ability to say, hey, I like the way this guy talks and teaches. I'm going to try it out. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to help me or be the right fit for me. And to your point, Eric, it's definitely same thing. I look at a lot of the online instruction to continue to try to broaden my toolbox. You know, again, I want to be able to give 100 people the same lesson and give 100 different lessons, maybe. Because to your point, you give 10 people a lesson in a day that's all doing the same thing, you say the same thing over and over and over in that day. So I think there's a lot of positives just to start to build a relationship. One of the negatives might be that small sample size that we see on social media is not really what the teacher is teaching. It's a small snippet. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the crazy thing about social media and teaching through social media is, and hopefully students understand this, is it's advertising. Like, when if I didn't use social media as some form of advertising trying to grow my business, I wouldn't have social media. And I know that's obviously a double-edged sword of, I want people to have fulfilling lives and I want them to put their phones down, but I also want people to follow me on social media so that they can see me out there and want to take golf lessons for me. When you go to social media, and if you're going there for your instruction, what I would say is you should be finding one voice and sticking with that. And what, you know, going back a little bit into like the instruction versus the student thing, is instructors are probably hopefully going there and to find different drills and feels to give students, which is our job, is to go, okay, try this. All right, that doesn't work. Try this. All right, that doesn't work. Try this. And we might try 3-4 different feels, drills inside a lesson until we find one that's working really well and enabling the student to make a good movement pattern. The problem with that on the flip side is if a student does that, they don't know which drill they should be doing for the most part. And so they'll go from drill to drill to drill. They might have passed the drill that they needed. The second thing they did might have been what they needed to keep working on. But then they skip it and go to the next thing and then never ingrain the proper movements because they're now onto the next drill.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree that people should find one voice, because kind of what you just said, like if they need to do a certain thing in their swing, they might need to find that fifth voice that has the way that makes sense for them. But in general, overall, I think that it's generally a bad idea. Like there's the saying among the legal community where the guy who has himself for a lawyer has both an idiot for a client and the lawyer. And it's similar for the golfer that tries to be his own teacher. You know, there are hobbyist golfers out there that are interested in swing theory, that kind of just learn a lot, and maybe they try to help their buddies and stuff a little bit here and there. But if you're a semi-serious golfer, it's almost always better, in my opinion, to put your headphones on and find an instructor to work with locally or remotely or online, but to commit to what they're doing. Because like you said, they might find the correct thing, and the odds of them finding the correct thing are pretty small, but they might find the correct thing. And then because they're expecting more instant results, move off of that way too quickly and be like, oh, that doesn't work. We're going to talk in our next podcast, I think, about like whether you get better or worse in a lesson or something like that. And I think too many people expect by the fifth ball to instantly be better and to see changes when they might not even be doing the thing properly because an instructor is not there in person to watch them doing the drill or doing the exercise or learning the movement. It's really, really tough. It's not because we're trying to protect our businesses and stuff. It's just really tough to watch a video of someone doing something. Often the videos are, this is my feel for doing this. That feel may not translate to what you're doing. It's really tough to watch a video of someone doing something and explaining something, even if it's a long form YouTube video, you know, and most social media like Instagram, it's a minute, 30 seconds, something like that. At least YouTube, they're longer content videos. You might move off of that before you have really understood what you're trying to do or whether you know that it actually works for you. And then prioritization becomes a really big problem.
Yeah. And I would say, again, to your point there, Eric, and sort of back to Jason, it's like, does the player actually do the drill the proper way? When they do it by themselves, they won't even do it the proper way when they're standing in front of me after I just demonstrate it to them in super slow motion for 5 minutes. And then I let them do the drill and it's nowhere close to what it needs to be. Most of the time they have no shot of actually doing the drill the proper way when they're doing it by themselves with no supervision, if you will. And, you know, I think that the hardest part is it's really hard to talk through everything that goes into a movement in 30 seconds. And it's really why I struggle with, you know, short form social media, because I don't know how to make a point very quickly that I can feel comfortable with putting out there that, you know, 1,000 people are going to have different versions of what that drill needs to be. That's always been a struggle for me.
Yeah. And I would say the most important thing I try to get across in most of my posts are, and hopefully you'll hear it in my wording, is if this is your issue, if you do this, try that, right? Because again, most people just scroll across and it's like, oh, you have an inside takeaway? Okay, perfect. I have an inside takeaway. And then you can sort of link the two together. But for some people, it's like, oh, well, they might not need an inside takeaway and they need to move past that video and, you know, find the next thing. But again, they stick with that and they go, okay, this is what I need to do. And this is what I need to do. And then they scroll the next thing. And then before the end of the day, they've got 8 different things that they're thinking about in their head on top of, you know, whatever's going wrong when they're swinging to begin with, which is just too much for most people. When you can go and see a coach, you'll get your, hey, this is what's happening in your swing. Here's your root cause. Let's fix that. Here's, you know, 1 or 2 drills that you need to be doing. And you need to be doing those drills every day for weeks, months even, right? And like I said, if you enjoy it, then you can still watch it, but you shouldn't be, you know, derailing yourself because you're trying some pros feel. And again, as Eric said, I would say not all, but most pros, when they talk about what you need to do in their swing, it's what they feel like they need to do in their swing. And that's the biggest issue, is that an amateur is going to go, well, I want to play like a pro. I want to play like whoever, right? And they go, okay, well, here's my feel for my swing. And you might be the complete opposite pattern of that guy. And if you tried to do that guy's move, you're just going to play worse and be like, I don't understand. I feel like I'm doing it. And yeah, you're just going down this bad, bad route.
Yeah, so let's say, for example, someone hits a slice or they tend to hit fat shots. Even that becomes difficult to prioritize. Why do you hit fat shots? We can all name 7 different reasons why someone hits behind the ball, even with a ball position that's too far back or something.
Absolutely.
You know, we can all name 7 to 10 different reasons. And so if you're watching a video and the video starts off, if you hit fat shots, here's the fix. And that's almost how you have to promote yourself on social media, as being like, here it is, because you don't have time to do a 30-minute explainer on like, no, here's the decision tree on like whether this specific video is specifically for you.
Yeah, 100%.
That would be boring as heck, and nobody would keep watching. It'd be almost every YouTube video, and I have YouTube videos and some other stuff, not as much as maybe Jason and stuff, but every video should almost start off with like a 15-minute tree of like, you know, where you're like, let's see if this video is really for you, you know. And at that point, you may as well just, the person is obviously,
it gets one view.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
For my mom.
Yeah, I couldn't even get through that video if I made it myself, you know. It'd be boring as heck. That's why people come to us for lessons. We see a guy, he goes, I'm hooking the heck out of my hybrids. It takes 2 seconds to realize he's hitting it an inch off the toe. You know, he's gear effect hooking it. He's not hooking it because his face is terrible or his path is terrible or something like that. So even just simple stuff like that, like a lot of golfers don't even know the basic stuff of like why they're hitting a shot. It becomes really tough to find the right video for you, even if you know what your problem is and even if you can prioritize properly.
Yeah. And I think going back to something Jason said earlier in the episode here was, you know, people use this for their entertainment. And it that is absolutely the truth. And, you know, as a golf instructor, I have to understand there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I would rather them have their entertainment on something that they're passionate about or they enjoy than something else. But it's always this fine line of, you know, if I have somebody who's committed to me and they're going to come take lessons from me for the next 3, 4, 5 months, I'm really hoping that they buy in and sort of can consume that entertainment with a different mindset of, I'm not going to apply all these pieces. I'm just watching to watch.
Okay, so if a golfer is going to watch stuff on YouTube or Instagram or Threads, what are some tips for what they can do to watch videos without destroying or messing with or causing almost harm to their golf game?
The first thing I would say is hopefully they've already found a good coach that's got them on their path. And that coach should have went, here's your main issues, here's what we're working on, and here are a couple of drills for you. And if someone's going to watch it, and if they're truly watching it for their benefit of trying to get their golf game better, it should be along those lines. So it should be very close to, okay, here's, let's say you're standing up as you're working off the golf ball. Okay, well, then it should be a drill related to that. And then it's, okay, well, here's the drill I've got from my coach. I'm trying to work on that. And then here's a separate drill, but it's along the same lines. And again, I would much rather from my student go, hey, is this drill relevant to me? And I don't mind watching a, you know, 2, 5, even sometimes a longer form video, because again, I want my golfer to be better. So if that helps them, perfect, great. But outside of that, you should basically be just enjoying there with a bowl of popcorn and watching it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think, you know, it's always this difficult line. I'm always telling every player at the end of lesson, I'm always giving players videos at the end of their lessons. If you're watching YouTube and you see a video, don't hesitate to text it to me and I will let you know, hey, this is good for you or this isn't good for you, vice versa. So that would be my take on that. All right, fellas, another great conversation. Thank you a lot, and thank you to everyone for tuning in. Do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. It really helps us keep this thing rolling. And make sure you share this with all your friends.
And you can find us on all the socials at SpinAxis and online at thespinaxis.com.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear some feedback from you. What do you get out of social media instruction? Is it great? Is it the most evil thing in the world? We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us in any way you feel comfortable. Thanks.